Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, March 31st. Carson says, division harmful to nation. Neurosurgeon says new education initiative focuses on creating unity. The story was written by Matt Stringer with Odessa Headlines. Not enough can be said to describe the remarkable background of Dr. Ben Carson. In politics, he is a widely admired giant among conservatives and draws respect from a wide range of those across the political spectrum. In medicine, he is a world-renowned neurosurgeon whose accomplishments have been widely written about and even featured in TV movies. Now, after serving as the secretary for the Department of Housing and Urban Development under the Trump administration, Carson feels led to once again make a difference by establishing and leading the new American Cornerstone Institute, or ACI, an organization founded with the purpose of building unity throughout the country by, quote, promoting conservative, common-sense solutions to the issues facing our society, and placing an emphasis on the cornerstone principles, which include faith, liberty, community, and life. One of the Institute's projects, Little Patriots Program, brought Carson to Midland this week to speak to students at Midland Christian School, which inspired one student to write a commentary to the Reporter Telegram about the impact of Dr. Carson's speech had on the students. Carson said in an interview Tuesday that it was very gratifying to read the commentary and to know the students are listening and paying attention because they are the future of our country. Quote, as you know, I want to make it very clear that our nation didn't rise to the pinnacle by accident, Carson said, explaining further points he made to students. Quote, there was a strong correlation between our foundational pillars and what distinguished us from so many other nations in the world. And obviously, in the culture where we have people telling kids the thing that is the most important determinative of what happens to you is the color of your skin, I just want to make the point that we have brains that are much more sophisticated than that. We go far beyond the color of a person's skin in our analytical abilities, end quote. In addition to speaking at Midland Christian School, Carson said he would be speaking to another school this week and elaborated on how those promoting teachings adversarial to the cornerstone principles of America's founding have done a very good job implementing divisive teachings in early childhood education. Quote, that's why Vladimir Lenin said, give me your children to teach for 4 years, and the seed that I plant will never be uprooted, Carson said, and further explained that we need to utilize the same principles and try to make sure children have a solid foundation of understanding of who we are as a nation. Quote, no nation can long survive if its young people are indoctrinated and told that it's evil, Carson said. We have been very cognizant of the divisive nature of the things that are being taught to our children, Carson said. And you know, there are attempts to create guilt in white students. How does that lead to anything good? And attempts to have minority students think that somehow they're being victimized by the system, and that the system was created to maintain a positive position for whites and a negative position for others. What a bunch of garbage, Carson said. Carson continued, saying there are instances that are rare occurrences, but then those instances are exaggerated and elevated for the purpose of substantiating the divisive narrative being taught. Quote, for instance, when a black person is shot by a white policeman, which is a very rare event, by the way, but when it does occur, you publicize it to the extent that you make people think that this is going on all over the country every day. And then, you know, that reinforces your narrative. You know that the country is systematically racist and that the police need to be cut down. Why would someone be doing all this? Because they want to fundamentally change our nation. They want a different type of situation where you have a government-centric country, Carson concluded. Right now, Carson explained how his institute is offering a downloadable teaching course for students in kindergarten through fifth grade, with plans to make a middle school-level program, as well as high school-level material available soon, all free of charge. Asked if the program would be something parents could ask their local school board to formally adopt, Carson said that would be tremendous, but added that the present material is intended to be a supplement to a curriculum, not the entire course. Carson encouraged parents and teachers to look at the material online and said he feels that they will be impressed. Carson also spoke about other issues the Institute is trying to tackle. Quote, "There's so many predominant issues," Carson said with a chuckle. "One of the other really major things that we try to get across is that we, the American people, are not each other's enemies. And in order to have a country that functions well, you can look at the symbol of our nation, that bald eagle. It has a right wing and a left wing. I can't fly with two right wings. You can't fly with two left wings. But when they work together, it can soar majestically. And that's what we have to understand as a pluralistic society. It's all right to have different opinions, as long as you're respectful of others, and as long as you're respectful of our rules and our laws. People can coexist with different ideas quite easily," end quote. Shifting gears, Carson also spoke about life post-Trump administration and weighed in on the Biden administration's current job performance. Quote, "You know, I had intended to retire," Carson said. "I failed to retire the first time," end quote. Carson went on to explain that it was looking at the policies coming out of the Biden administration that made him jump back into the fray because he was afraid the country was really beginning to go downhill very rapidly. Quote, "I wouldn't be able to enjoy myself on the golf course or cruising around the world knowing that our country was going down the tubes, you know, particularly with the focus that I've had all my life on children and their well-being," Carson said. Carson scrutinized the Biden administration's bungled withdrawal from Afghanistan, saying the withdrawal was a prime example of not thinking about the ramifications of certain decisions, and addressed the widespread inflation and the harm the increased cost of everyday goods are doing to lower-income Americans. Quote, "These are things that are a direct result of what was done or not done by the current administration. And you know, it's my hope. It's my hope that they will start listening to the voice of the people and look at the suffering that the people are undergoing," Carson said. Carson concluded the interview was sharing a story from how he and his wife decided on the name for the American Cornerstone Institute and how it ties into a historical perspective. Quote, "My wife was going through a bunch of boxes at her firm, and she came across a box labeled 1993, and she was going to throw it out, and then she saw a calendar in there. And it has some very beautiful calligraphy on it, and she opened it up, and it, the calendar, was talking about the laying of the cornerstone for the capital of the United States in 1793, and this was the 200th anniversary of the laying of the cornerstone. And then she examined it even more closely and saw that the cornerstone was laid on September the 18th, which happens to be my birthday. So that was a confirmatory, Carson said with a laugh. It's supposed to be Cornerstone. For more information about Dr. Carson and the American Cornerstone Institute, readers may visit their website at www.americancornerstone.org, and the Little Patriots program can be found at www.littlepatriotslearning.com. Here are details on legalized pot in New Mexico. Beginning April 1st, all adults can buy up to 2 ounces of cannabis. The story was written by Morgan Lee of the Associated Press. Marijuana aficionados and entrepreneurs across New Mexico are bracing for the April 1st start of state-regulated retail marijuana. New Mexico joins 17 other states that have legalized recreation marijuana without significant legal challenges. The start date for sales ushers in a new era for cannabis as big business, with implications for law enforcement, scarce water resources, economic opportunity, and cannabis tourism along the state line with Texas. Here are a few things to know. Starting at midnight on April 1st, all adults 21 and up will be allowed to buy up to 2 ounces or 57 grams of marijuana at retail outlets throughout the state. It's enough pot to stuff a sandwich bag or roll about 60 joints or cigarettes. The changes take effect 15 years after the state first began offering medical marijuana to help people endure afflictions, including cancer, and a portion of future supplies are being reserved for cannabis patients. Democratic Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham and allied lawmakers hope that broad legalizing of marijuana will stamp out black markets, boost employment, and provide a stable new source of government income. Growing pains are guaranteed as retailers stock new shelves and cannabis cultivators scale up production to meet uncertain demands that include tourists from Texas, which still mostly prohibits marijuana. So far, the state has licensed more than 500 business premises, outdoor farms, greenhouses, retail outlets, and manufacturing facilities for extracts and edibles. The new Cannabis Control Office also licenses marijuana consumption lounges and a private network of testing laboratories to ensure products are free of contaminants and to verify drug potency as listed on labels. Already, there are 225 licensed retail outlets, though not all will open on day one. Quote, "We're going to have some nice balloons, and we might get some catering," said Logan McElroy, a director at Hobbs-based Brian's Green Care, a family-owned cannabis business that began business in 2015 with CBD sales. The business spent months negotiating access to city water supplies as it prepares to stock its own cannabis stores in Hobbs, Roswell, Ruidoso, and soon in Santa Teresa, a short drive from El Paso and the U.S. border with Mexico. Josh McCurdy, a contract grower and consultant for upstart marijuana producers, has warned wannabe pot entrepreneurs in New Mexico to be conscious of the financial risks and competitive pressures. He says he witnessed novice pot farmers going bankrupt in Oklahoma. Quote, "They think it's a weed, but technically it's a flowering herb," said McCurdy, owner of Gnarly LLC, that manages cannabis cultivation for fledgling marijuana operations, including Sunland Park Cannabis Farms. Quote, "It's not as easy as it looks to grow high-quality cannabis. It is a lot of work," end quote. New Mexico's legalization laws seek to reverse some of the harm inflicted disproportionately on minority communities and poor households. Emily Kaltenbach, a senior director at the Drug Policy Alliance that supports decriminalization of drugs, said the state hopes to help those communities gain a foothold in the industry with easy access to licensing, state-subsidized loans, and even product certification logos that steer consumers toward cannabis from minority-owned businesses. The New Mexico Finance Authority is preparing a $5 million line of credit for entrepreneurs that found cannabis microbusinesses along the lines of craft breweries with average loan size of about $100,000. In a sea change for law enforcement, police can no longer cite the smell of marijuana as a cause for searching vehicles or private property. Efforts are underway to expunge cannabis infractions from criminal records that can hurt people's prospects for employment or standing in society. The State Department of Public Safety has identified about 155,000 instances of arrests or convictions that are eligible for automatic expungement and dismissal. Prison terms may be shortened in some instances. Prosecutors have until July 1, 2022, to raise objections to deleting records and dismissing sanctions. Individuals can accelerate the process without paying standard court fees. The state will levy a 12% excise tax on the sale of marijuana that eventually increases to 18%. That's before standard taxes on sales of 5 to 9%. Medical marijuana will remain tax-free for patients with qualifying medical conditions that include post-traumatic stress. More than 6% of the state population participates in the medical cannabis program. By conservative estimates, state and local tax income from recreational cannabis will surpass $45 million annually within 3 years. A two-thirds share goes to the state general fund, with one-third for local governments. Lawmakers haven't decided yet how to spend the money. Indoor and outdoor venues for consuming cannabis are being licensed might resemble bars or lounges. Those cannabis consumption areas will be licensed by the state for a fee. Pot consumption also will be allowed in designated hotel rooms, casinos, cigar bars, and tobacco stores. In other public places, marijuana consumption will be treated much like alcohol or cigarettes. At home, hobbyists also have the right to grow up to 6 cannabis plants for personal consumption and 12 per household. Business buzz. Local designer collaborates with Dillard's on spring clothing line. Hawkins made shift to fashion after pandemic hurt business. The story was written by J.C. Lewis. The illustrations of a Midland designer are being featured in a spring children's clothing line at Dillard's locations nationwide. Carrie Hawkins, age 33, grew up in Midland, and then went on to attend the University of Texas at Austin, where she graduated with a degree in design. Hawkins started 7 years ago. During the pandemic, she shifted her business from focusing on wedding invitation designs to supplement the lost business from weddings being put on hold. Quote, "When COVID hit, I started pivoting toward patterns and doing more clothing design, because due to COVID, there weren't as many weddings," she said. "That ended up how I tried to figure out that season of change," end quote. She said her job satisfaction really took off. She fell in love with pattern design and the rhythm of work. Quote, "I love getting to see artwork used as functional design," Hawkins said, "something that kids can wear and people can celebrate in everyday life," end quote. Hawkins has 2 young daughters and has been interested in children's fashion. Quote, "It's been fun to see how my life has been influenced by them," meaning her daughters, she said. I have a very whimsical feminine style. It has been great to see how that interprets into clothing design." End quote. It's been an adventure watching her daughters wear her artwork, she said. For Dillard's collaboration, Hawkins and her daughters took photos in the dress designs at the Museum of the Southwest with local photographer Helen Bird Sledge. She didn't realize that those pictures would be used for the marketing campaign. Those photos are now up at Dillard's across the country, showcasing a Midland space and designer. She said she doesn't really take a different approach when it comes to designing patterns for textiles. Quote, "I create all of the artwork by hand on watercolor paper, then I take it into my computer, and with my background in graphic design, I can edit it and clean it up to be printed on textiles," she said. "Then the company, like Dillard's, will decide what type of printer to use and what kind of textiles to use for the clothing." End quote. This isn't Hawkins' first collaboration within the textile world. She has worked with Smockingbird and Wheezy Towels. The Dillard's collaboration came about because she had worked with smaller children's brands. She has always liked shopping at Dillard's and has seen that Dillard's was collaborating with smaller designers. Quote, "I emailed them and said, 'Look at my patterns. They would be cute on your clothes,'" Hawkins said. "I even mocked up some photoshopped pictures of their clothes with my patterns on them," end quote. The next thing she knew, Dillard's had followed her on Instagram from that email, she said. "This group of designs are spring and Easter focused," she said. "The collection starts for kids at 12 months and goes up to 6 years old. There are different dress options for gifts, 3 girls' swimsuit options, and 1 boy's swimsuit in this collection." Quote, "I like to say that anyone from West Texas enjoys any color or beautiful flower amongst the desert, so a lot of them are influenced by nature and floral regrowth," Hawkins said. "There is a design with bunnies which is playing off the Easter idea. All the designs use different florals and springtime colors like pastels," end quote. She added that she likes to think this collection encapsulates joy. Dillard's hosted a launch event for the collection Saturday. Hawkins also sold artwork during the event and raised about $300 for CASA of West Texas. Quote, "I've gotten so much support from Midland, and it's been so humbling," she said. "They have been very encouraging and supportive. I was blown away by the local workers in our Midland Dillard's setting up the event. They were treating it like a major milestone for all of us. It's been fun to celebrate not just me, but to celebrate Midland and everyone who's been behind it here," end quote. She hopes she will be able to work with Dillard's on more designs in the future. The buzz. Coach has teamed up with the University of Texas Permian Basin for an in-store event benefiting Falcon Giving Day. Visit the Coach store at the Midland Park Mall from noon to 6 p.m. on April 9th and donate $5 or more toward Falcon Giving Day to receive a free Coach hand tag. Colon Dental has moved to 4504 Holiday Hill Road. The office will open April 4th. The grand opening starts at noon on April 15th at 4505 Holiday Hill.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, March 31st, 2022. The community page. Community calendar. Museum of the Southwest hosts iconic West Texas scenes painted by Don L. Parks. For more than 40 years, Midlander Don L. Parks has translated the majesty of the natural environment into oil on canvas, according to a press release. The retrospective of accomplished plein air painter explores the Southwestern Impressionist's career through several decades of work. Parks was a watercolorist for more than a decade and has concentrated on oils since 1985. He was from a family of farmers in Seymour, where his wife, Minda, also grew up. His exhibition is on display until May 1st. Museum hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday, and 2 to 5 p.m. on Sunday. Lissa Noel Wagner will be honored at Black and White Ball. Midland philanthropist Lissa Noel Wagner will be honored as a friend of the arts during the Odessa Arts Black and White Ball, The Art of Fashion, on April 2nd at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. Other nominees include Joanne Davenport Littleton and Ector County ISD's Fine Arts Department. Noel Wagner continues the tradition of philanthropy learned from her parents and perfected with her late husband, Cy. She has dedicated her life to numerous worthy causes which have made an impact in communities and on the lives of others. Her mother, Ellen Noel, was a generous patron to the arts community and is the namesake of the Ellen Noel Art Museum and a wing at the Museum of the Southwest. Noel Wagner has been a long-term supporter of the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. The Black and White Ball is sold out. Events. The McCartney Years, 7 p.m. Thursday at the Ector Theater. KOTK at the Rusty Bucket, Midland, 7 p.m. Thursday at the Rusty Bucket. Kinfo, 9 p.m. Friday at the Mule Barn Cantina. Carvin Jones, 10 p.m. Friday at the Yucca Theater. Black Rifle Coffee Company, grand opening, 5 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday at Tall City Brewing Company. Downtown Farmers Market, 8 a.m. to noon Saturday at Museum of the Southwest. West Texas Symposium of History, 9 a.m. Saturday at the F. Mary Hall Academic Building. Semi-annual sidewalk sale, 10 a.m. Saturday, 2032 West Cuthbert. Low Street Market, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, Micro Market. Market at the Gardens, 10 a.m. Saturday at Cafe at the Gardens. Wildcatter Weekend Tournament, Saturday and Sunday at the Scarber Sports Complex. Paul Coffin, 11 a.m. Saturday at Fair to Midland. Gary Allen, 6:30 p.m. Saturday at Momentum Bank Ballpark. Gallery Night featuring Darwin Leon, 7 p.m. Saturday at the Fafa Gallery. Hope for the Living, MOSC Chorale, 7:30 p.m. Saturday at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Estrategia Norteña, 9 p.m. Saturday at La Hacienda Event Center. Fashion Week Trunk Brunch, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Sunday at Beryl and Derek. String Theory, Permian Basin String Quartet, 3 p.m. Sunday at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Spring Art Reception, 5:30 p.m. April 5th at Midland Shared Spaces. Summit on Health, Lands, and Energy Development, 8 a.m. April 6th at the Midland Horseshoe Arena. MHCC Career Fair, 9 a.m. April 6th at the Hilton Doubletree. BPW Bunco, 6 p.m. April 8th at Ranchland Hills Golf Course. Arts of the Heart Spring Sale, April 8th and 9th at 907 West Wadley. Texas Rain, 7 p.m. April 8th at the Destination Midland. Daddy's Dying, Who's Got the Will? By the Mavericks Players, 7:30 p.m. April 8th through 11th, April 15th and 16th at 409 Veterans Air Park Lane. Call 432-260-0044 for reservations. Luis R. Conriquez, Los Hilgueros del Arroyo, Luis Sanchez, Adolfo Urias y Los Marineros del Norte, 8 p.m., April 8th, at the La Hacienda Event Center. Second Annual Golf Tournament, 7 p.m., April 9th, at Hogan Park. Head for the Cure 5K, 9 a.m., April 9th, at Midland College. Basin Book Festival, 9:30 a.m., April 9th, at Museum of the Southwest. Midland Children's Business Fair, 10 a.m., April 9th, 2908 North La Mesa Road. Annual Crawfish Cook-Off Special Guest, Stalacracker, noon to midnight, April 9th, at the Tailgate. Purple Piano, the one-man tribute to Prince, 7 p.m., April 9th, at the Ector Theater. High Sky Wing Hops and Props, 2022, 7 p.m., April 9th, at the High Sky Wing. Tchaikovsky 4, 7:30 p.m., April 9th, at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. MSS Midland Shared Spaces Benefit Dinner, 7 p.m., April 11th, at Opal's Table. Authors at the Ector, Kathy Valentine, The Go-Go's, 7 p.m., April 14th, at the Ector Theater. Midland Market Spring Spectacular, April 15th and 16th, at the Midland County Horseshoe. Third Saturdays in the Garden, 10 a.m., April 16th, at the West Texas Food Bank. Easter Egg Hunt, 11 a.m., April 16th, at Lions Club Park. Aladdin and the Magic Carpet, 7:30 p.m., April 16th, at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Midland's Largest Easter Egg Hunt, 2:30 p.m., April 17th, at 100 North Colorado Street. 2022 State of Midland, 11 a.m., April 20th, at the Midland County Horseshoe. Foreigner, 8 p.m., April 20th, at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Hops and Props to Return Next Week by J.C. Lewis. The Hops and Props fundraiser is coming back for the 14th year at the Commemorative Air Force, CAF, High Sky Hangar. The event will be from 7 to 10:30 p.m. April 9th at 9600 Bright Drive. The event will feature more than 50 different beers, sample appetizers from area restaurants, and live music at the hangar, where attendees will be surrounded by vintage aircraft. There will also be a silent auction, bottle cap pull game, and 50-50 raffle. The fundraiser event benefits the CAF High Sky Wing and Midland Army Airfield Museum. CAF is a nonprofit organization with the mission to educate, inspire, and honor. General admission tickets are $40 in advance, or $50 at the door, and will include unlimited beer samples, appetizers, and a commemorative glass. Designated driver non-drinking tickets are $20 and will include appetizers, soft drinks, and water. VIP table tickets are $500 for 8 guests. These tickets are the only seating at the event. Doors for VIP guests will open at 6:30 p.m. All guests must be 21 and older. ID will be required for entrance. The cash bar will serve beer, wine, and margaritas. Black Rifle Coffee sets opening event by J.C. Lewis. Black Rifle Coffee Company announced a grand opening celebration of Midland's first store this Saturday. The coffee shop opened in December at 3500 Big Spring. The celebration will be from 5 a.m. to 1 p.m. There will be live music by Josh Tatum and Bungee Run. Tall City Brewing Company will be on site from 9 a.m. to noon with specialty beers made with coffee from Black Rifle Coffee Company. The Scout Guide West Texas also will be at the event. Midland's second Black Rifle Coffee Company will be along Wadley Avenue next to the Kent Quick convenience store at 3300 North Midkiff. It will be across from Imperial Shopping Center, which houses Murray's Deli and Nothing Bundt Cakes. Construction has not yet started at the new location. Fair to Midland Bar and Eatery plans grand opening event for Saturday by J.C. Lewis. Weatherstone, Colton Rice, and Ellis Bullard will open for Paul Cawthon Saturday during Fair to Midland's grand opening celebration. Music will start at 2 p.m. at 1115 Tradewinds Boulevard. The event is free and first come, first serve, with no tickets required. There will be all-day entertainment, giveaways, and more. The event is for 21 and older. Cawthon is from Tyler. He is known for Cocaine Country Dancing, Holy Ghost Fire, Everybody Walk in This Land, and a new single, High Heels. Cawthon has collaborated with Cody Jinks, Waylon Jennings, and toured with Margot Price. The venue opened November 16, 2021. The Food, Beverage, and Entertainment Project was first announced in 2019 by KPG Hospitality. The venue hit setbacks during the pandemic because it was originally projected to open in the summer of 2020. Partner Campbell Foster said Midland is the first city to have a venue like this. The concept is an open fair-themed patio, beer garden bar, which has indoor and outdoor seating areas, he said to the Reporter Telegram in October. We have two really cool indoor bar areas, plus the outdoor games pavilion. We'll have a ping pong table, live oak trees, silo slide, and a windmill. The indoor-outdoor bar is by the Skeet Ball, Basketball, and Shooting Gallery Games. String Theory by the Permian Basin String Quartet, Sunday, April 3rd at 3 p.m. at the Ray Greathouse Recital Hall at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. This concert explores the profound ideas of death and grief while also bringing peace and nostalgia through the music. $15 general admission, students $5. Tickets available at the door or from mosc.org.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, March 31st, 2022. Former Odessa firefighter sentenced to 6 years in prison. In a Colorado courtroom on Wednesday morning, former Odessa firefighter Evan Gaw apologized before he was sentenced in the shooting death of his friend, former Odessa firefighter Michael Mack. Gaw was sentenced to 6 years in the Colorado Department of Corrections with 3 years of parole. He was credited with 22 days of jail time served. The sentencing hearing took place Wednesday morning in the 10th Judicial District Chief Judge Deborah Eiler of Division 502 in Pueblo, Colorado. The 10th Judicial District emailed a copy of the plea agreement for Gaw, which detailed the defendant pleads guilty to count number 2 of the information, which charges a violation of CRS 18-3-104-1A, as amended, a Class 4 felony, in that the defendant committed the offense of manslaughter. The plea agreement also details that Gaw understands that he may not request nor receive consideration or reduction of the sentence at a later time. Gaw, who was previously clean-shaven as he was an active firefighter, had a full beard in the courtroom. Gaw was visibly distraught as he needed a box of tissues as he constantly wiped away tears. Gaw spoke before Judge Eiler, announced his prison sentence. "I would take it back a million times. I would do anything to change it. I'm sorry. I will always love him. I understand that people are mad at me. I'm sorry. God bless everybody." Pueblo County Sheriff's Office deputies were dispatched to a shots fired call at 10:26 p.m., November 11, 2022, at the KOA campgrounds located at 4131 North Interstate 25, Space D2 in Pueblo West, Colorado. The arrest affidavit detailed that Gaw was screaming that he shot his best friend, and during a struggle with deputies, he told them, "I'm not afraid to die." Gaw was tased and taken into custody, where he said, "I'm high as balls." Gaw told deputies multiple times that he had taken 3.2 grams of shrooms. Gaw stated that Mack had grabbed his gun and was trying to kill him, the affidavit detailed. Gaw also stated that a wrestling match ensued over the gun. During Wednesday's sentencing hearing, Gaw's attorney detailed that Gaw suffered a broken jaw while the two were wrestling over the gun. Gaw stated he called his wife, Sarah Gaw, after he shot his friend. Evan Gaw told his wife that he was taking his clothes off and she told him to put them back on. Sarah Gaw told deputies that he wasn't making much sense. Sarah Gaw told deputies over the phone that her husband and Mac were best friends and like brothers. She didn't know why they had traveled to Colorado. She only knew they had taken time off of work to go. The affidavit from the Pueblo County Sheriff's Office detailed deputies were told by a complainant that they heard a loud pop, followed by a man screaming and shouting, panicked. The man was later identified as Gaw, who was screaming how he had just shot his friend. Gaw was standing naked in 28-degree Fahrenheit weather and 50 feet from where Mac was found, the affidavit stated. A deputy noted a red 2015 Mazda SUV with a passenger side door open, the affidavit stated. Mac was laying on his right side with his head facing to the northeast and his feet curled behind him facing southeast. Mac looked to be in the fetal position. Mac had bloody, matted hair on the left side of his head toward the temple, with blood coming out of his left ear, the affidavit stated. Mac's eyes were shut. As deputies were clearing the Mazda SUV, they could hear Gaw screaming about God and how he was going to go to heaven, the affidavit stated. Gaw was shifting his weight from one foot to another in a fighting stance as well as throwing his arms out in what deputies thought to be a fighting stance. Sarah Gaw stated in the affidavit that she called her husband right back, at which time he stated, "Mike was going to shoot me. I had to shoot him. I had to defend myself." Evan Gaw then told his wife the cops were coming and he was removing his clothes. Sarah Gaw told her husband to put his clothes back on and stated he wasn't making much sense. Saragaw was able to hear the responding deputies arrive. She went on to say that Mac had a history of depression and had attempted suicide in the past. She also was asked if her husband was on any type of medication or had a history of drug use, to which she said, "Not that I know of." Saragaw didn't know why they had traveled to Colorado, the affidavit stated. She only knew they had taken time off work to go. More than once during her conversation with deputies, she stated Mac and her husband were best friends and like brothers. Massive mural now complete at Marriott. A Florida-based artist has changed the look of downtown Odessa after completing a three-story tall mural on the parking garage adjacent to the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center on Wednesday. The commissioned piece can be seen downtown on 6th Street between Jackson Avenue and Hancock Avenue. The artist, Ernesto Maranje, is a muralist from Wynwood, Florida, a suburb of Miami, who has spent the last 10 years painting domestically and abroad in places such as Iraq, the Kingdom of Jordan, Lebanon, Greece, Spain, and Ukraine after serving in the United States Coast Guard. In 2017, Maranje spent time collaborating with the Ukrainian-based art project Art United Us to create a series of three murals in Kyiv, ranging from 7 to 16 stories tall. That same year, he also painted two additional murals in Odessa, Ukraine. The muralist can now add West Texas to his resume with the completion of the three-story mural, which was commissioned by the City of Odessa in conjunction with Odessa Arts through publicartist.com. Maranje said he was quickly challenged by the cold and windy weather shortly after his arrival, which only slightly changed his approach to painting the wall. It took a few days of kind of understanding what was going on, and then just safety gear is what we had to do, a mask and goggles, and staying low as long as we can and still work through it, he said. And yeah, it was a challenge. Maranje explained that whether the mural is 3 stories or 16 stories tall, the problems encountered tend to be the same. They tend to stay pretty much in one range of problems. Whether you have water, whether you have electricity or not, how close the wall is to a power line or main streets, all sorts of problems, he said. Painting at the end of the day is just painting, so aside from all the logistics and all of the problems, you can always get something. Marriott owner Sandra Eoff is happy with a massive mural. She said people sent them pictures of the work in progress. "We couldn't be more pleased," she said. "It's beautiful." Joyful grading topic of Friday lunch and learn. Most educators may not think of the words joyful and grading in the same sentence, but Clark Moreland is hosting a lunch and learn to that effect on Friday. It's the UT System Faculty Developers Lunch and Learn, titled Reclaiming the Joy of No Foolin' Grading. It is scheduled for noon to 1 p.m. Friday at the Himmerman Center for Engaged Teaching on the second floor of the Mesa Building. Educators from around the UT system are talking about the needs faculty have presented at various institutions, and the word joy came up again and again, said Moreland, lecturer and director of the Himmerman Center for Engaged Teaching. "We've gone through a dark period, all of us in the entire world. The last couple of years have been a challenge, both in terms of our own mental health and that finding joy in our work. And also our students have been presented with innumerable challenges the last couple of years with remote learning and with adjusting to these new realities of the pandemic, not to mention the recent conflicts in Eastern Europe. And so we got to talking about how can we find joy in our teaching? How can we find joy in our work?" Moreland arrived at grading as his topic in the series. "I can't tell you a single teacher I know who got into teaching who chose this profession to grade, to assess student learning. That was not the reason I and most teachers chose this profession. I got back to thinking of my early days of my career. I had a dean who was very instrumental and sort of a mentor for me, and the sort who showed me the ropes. And I remember a phase which sticks out of my mind to this day, he said. Grading is the work of this profession, Moreland said. At the time, I took that to mean it's the drudgery. It's the required work that everyone must do in the profession, but it's not. It's not what you get up in the morning to do. It's just something you have to do. But over the years, I think I've come to see something more profound in what he means, which is it is central to our work and it's central to students' success, he added. Over the years, Moreland said, he has learned that taking grading as a joyful act can be transformative for students. Grading is one of those areas of our work where we get to directly interact with students, where we get to know their names, get to know their stories, where we get to give individualized feedback. That is critical for student success, he added. Moreland said there are strategies not to think of grading as drudgery, but to think of it as a core part of educators' work in terms of helping students grow and succeed in their various pursuits. So I'm going to be giving a presentation about how to do that. I'm going to be talking about how we can grade equitably, how we can ensure that our assessment procedures are fair and just. I will be talking about ways to be efficient in grading and not fall behind, especially in certain disciplines. Faculty often struggle with just keeping up with grading. With all of our other responsibilities, grading sometimes tends to fall behind, so I'll be speaking about strategies for providing prompt feedback. There's a plethora of research out there which says that effective feedback is promptly given. And conversely, if students don't hear it in a relatively quick amount of time from their faculty about how they're doing in a course, then it has a detrimental impact on their success, Moreland said. But above all, beyond efficiency, beyond even the issues of justice and fairness and grading, I want to talk about how we can truly come to enjoy it and think of it as a core to our work, how we can make it personal and even fun, he added. He noted that the talks are interactive and he'll be using Mentimeter, where attendees can provide feedback. Faculty and staff are going to be involved. They're going to be sharing their strategies, and I hope to learn just as much in giving this talk as I hope they learn from me, Moreland said. Quick hits. Library Town Halls set. The Ector County Library Advisory Board will be hosting two community forums on the future of the library. The first forum will be held at 6:30 p.m. April 4th at the Ector County Library in English. The second forum will be held at 6:30 p.m. April 5th in the Ector County Library in Spanish. United Way accepting funding proposals. The United Way of Odessa is requesting proposals for 2022-2023 community impact funding. Funding is open to nonprofits 501c3s serving in the United Way of Odessa service area, who provide services in the areas of health, education, and self-sufficiency. To be considered for funding, funding proposals must be received by today. For an application or more information, call 432-332-0941. Oil and Gas Hiring Event. An oil and gas hiring event has been scheduled from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. today at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street. More than 40 companies will be hiring on the spot. Job seekers need to bring ID. Register at the door. For a full list of positions or information, visit PermianBasinHiringEvents.com. Open Scholarship Application. Permian Basin Area Foundation have announced the 2022-2023 scholarship cycle. Students and counselors may view eligibility and selection criteria for more than 85 scholarships through the application platform Academic Works at the PBAF website, pbaf.org. The application deadline is today. The foundation is looking forward to connecting Permian Basin students with local scholarship opportunities here at the foundation, Sherry Heidig, scholarships administrator, said. Applications are required to complete only one online application, which will then place them in a pool of scholarships for which they may qualify. However, it will be very important to read all instructions because approximately one dozen scholarships are unique in their criteria. With an outside application, a second essay, or a different deadline, Permian Basin Area Foundation awarded more than $1 million in scholarships to area students during the last academic year. These awards are made possible by numerous donors to the foundation scholarship funds in support of local students pursuing higher education. To learn more about scholarships, grants, and the philanthropic work of donors partnering with PBAF, visit pbaf.org or call 432-617-3213. National Quilt Month Film Series. The Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled National Quilt Month Film Series featuring the Ken Burns Quilt Collection at 6 p.m. today. There will be short videos of famous quilt artists, quilt events, and quilt collections. Admission is free. For more information, visit noelartmuseum.org. Faculty Piano Recital. Odessa College Music Department has scheduled a faculty piano recital at 7 p.m. today at the Jack Rogers Fine Arts Center, 201 West University Boulevard. Gail Baziel, pianist, Eric Baker, conductor, and the Odessa College Chamber Orchestra are honored to present the world premiere of a new piano concerto by nationally recognized composer Timothy Brown, who will be in attendance at the concert. Baziel will also premiere a solo work for piano. Three OC music students will perform works by Brown on the recital. Admission is free. The McCartney Years. The Ector County Theater, 500 North Texas Avenue, will present The McCartney Years from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. today. For more information, visit theector.com. Siren Sound Off for Child Abuse Awareness Month. Harmony Home Children's Advocacy Center, United Way, and First Responders will kick off Child Abuse Awareness Month at 10 a.m. Friday. Don't be alarmed, be aware. First responders will be sounding their siren at 10:40 a.m. to encourage the prevention of child abuse. Community members are encouraged to honk their horns and or set an alarm on their cell phone at 10:40 a.m. The Odessa Downtown Lions Club, 1101 Whitaker Avenue, will conclude the month with a party from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. April 30th at the club's parking lot. Visit tinyurl.com/5ay6dyf5. Western Wonder Art Show and Sale, Raw, 1899, 38 North Claiborne Street, San Angelo, will present Western Wonder Art Show and Sale, featuring the work of Jean N. Cornell through April 30th. The opening reception will take place from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. today. There is no cost to attend. Hours are from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday. For more information, call 325-703-6899 or visit raw1899.com. Fish Fryays. Knights of Columbus number 3203 and Daughters of Mary have scheduled Fish Fryays fundraiser from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. each Friday during Lent at St. Mary's Catholic Church Cafeteria, 618 East 18th Street. Plates are $12 each. For more information, call 432-332-5334. Fish Fry and Food Drive. Knights of Columbus, 17679 has scheduled a fish fry and food drive from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday at Holy Redeemer Parish Hall, 2633 Conover Avenue. The menu will include fried fish, coleslaw, hush puppies, cornbread, dessert, and drink. Plates are $12 or support the House of Mercy, $10 a plate, when two non-perishable items are donated. Visit koc17679.now.site/home. First Baptist Church Odessa, 709 North Lee Avenue, has scheduled a foster parent night out event from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. April 1st. This is a free event. To register now or for more information, tinyurl.com/yv59zphu. Foster Parent Night Out. The First Baptist Church Odessa, 709 North Lee Avenue, has scheduled a foster parent night out from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Friday. This is a free event. To register now or for more information, tinyurl.com/yv59zphu.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.